What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Alrighty, welcome everybody again back to the Basement Binge another week, and I'm Harrison.
I'm Kate.
And this is Kelton.
And this week we watched Alita Battle Angel, a movie that I have been so anticipating to watch with you guys. So I've seen this movie before, Kate and Kelton haven't, this is the first watch for them. It's going to be a pretty exciting movie to talk about. I'm way excited for this, so.
Yeah, I've been really excited to watch this movie because it's something new. I always love watching a new movie just off the first start, because just that first experience is something that you can never really get anywhere else other than watching a movie for the first time. I wanted to give a shout out to a couple of people and also update on our social media. For those who don't know, I started a poll on Twitter a couple of days ago of what I should do before watching Alita Battle Angel. And here were the options of that poll. They only gave me 4 options on Twitter, which is kind of sad. But here's were the options. I could either, 1, do some research before the movie, watch the trailer 100 times to get hyped up for it, forget about it until the day we watch it, or ask around and see what other people think about it. And man, I got 89 votes on the poll, and the winner of the poll was forget about it until movie day, which that's exactly what I did. I just didn't think about it, try to kind of stay off of social media because there were some posts about it, because it was just being kind of hyped up on our Twitter, on our Basement Binge Twitter account. So I was kind of just isolated myself a little bit, and I want to give a big shout out to all those who did actually not only did vote but replied, such as Charles at BVGN. He said it's a great movie, told me to enjoy it. Also, Boss Stitch told me that the trailers don't give the film a disservice. That was a good way to avoid that. Also, IndieNut93 also said that number three trailers were pretty good. So I kind of watched those a little bit just for a first little, you know, tidbit of it. And also DizzyB23 said it's freaking epic, and I should just dive in. So that's exactly what I did, and I'll let you know about it in my 2 cents. But I just want to give a big shout out to all those people on Twitter who have really just started to follow us, and just it's been an awesome journey to see you guys just to hop on our join a little party. We've gotten up to 60 followers. I think it's 61 as of this morning, and that's awesome. We're so happy you guys follow us. Just keep following us here on Twitter. That's where most of our conversations and polls are at, so join the party. As well as, you know, keep on downloading. That was awesome. If I remember right, we've passed 200 downloads. That's awesome. Keep it coming.
Heck yeah, guys. Like Kate just said, we just passed 200 downloads, and we want to keep pushing that every single week, guys. We put out a podcast every week, so you guys should keep listening in. But also, just like, we already have up to, I believe, 10 episodes now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is our 11th episode, so there are plenty of stuff, content you guys can go back to, and and talk to your friends about it. You know, you could pull up. We've watched Inception, Into the Spider-Verse, Mad Max Fury Road, a bunch of Marvel movies. Like, go check them out. Like, even if you don't want to like listen to all of them, if you have one movie you love, just go look it up. And if we haven't seen a movie that you really want us to talk about, just add us on Twitter or Instagram, or put it in the comments, and we'll check it out. But yeah, we got to reach our goal before the end of the year, 1,000 downloads. So we are 1/5 of the way there, but we got to keep it coming every week. We love you guys. Keep doing your thing.
Yeah, thank you so much. And two last exciting announcements here. The first one is one that I'm extremely excited about. So I've said this multiple times in the podcast where I've been like, I was so excited to have a podcast to have people join a conversation about movies because I'm just in love with them. So we're starting a Discord. If you guys don't know what Discord is, it's just kind of like an online chat community where you can join in on a bunch of different channels about a bunch of different things and talk about what you love. Anybody's welcome to join. So the link for that and all the channels and rules and whatever will be in all the show notes. So yeah, come join us on Discord and you can talk to us directly. Each one of us will have a profile and also a kind of general one. So yeah, come join us there. And the second announcement is one that's incredibly exciting. Like Kellen just said, we need your guys' help to get this podcast thing rolling the way we need it. And something that's really holding us up the most is our kind of our microphones, especially last episode and editing. So we launched a Kickstart, you know, where we're going to ask you guys to help us out to get some better podcasting equipment. That'll be linked below. If you do contribute there, thank you so much. Don't feel like you need to. This is always going to be free because we just love doing it and love sharing this conversation with you guys. But if you want to support us, definitely check out the Kickstart. So enough announcements. Let's get into the movie here. Breakdown of the show. This is how it's going. So as always, we start with our 2 cents, a phrase we've coined where you get 2 minutes of uninterrupted time to give your reactions to the movie. Followed up with something new because this is what we are calling a first watch where at least one of us has never seen the movie before. So it being a first watch for both Kate and Kelton, we're going to add our new segment, Does It Live Up?, where we'll share why we wanted to watch this movie, what the reason was, and then those who have not seen it will get to share, you know, does it live up to the expectations, whether those were good or bad expectations. Followed up by Pick Your Poison, our personal rating scale, bench points, dislikes, favorite scenes, and then my personal favorite fall in. So this is going to be a good podcast, so let's jump in.
It's going to be awesome. So we're going to start off with 2 cents.
I got it ready for you.
Yeah, so I'll go first. All right. I haven't said anything since the movie ended, like 20 minutes ago, about this movie because I want to save it for now. But, man, holy cow. Like, this movie, it's so hard to phrase it how I want to. I think this movie... Oh my gosh, this is so hard. All right, this movie was incredible. I loved this movie. And there were a couple things I think that could have been done better. But, like, just the way it, like, there were a lot of twists. And, like, you're constantly on the edge of your seat trying to figure out what the heck is happening. Who is Alita? Like, who's this Nova guy? Because we don't even, like, see him in person until, like, the very end. And he, like, takes off his glasses and you're like, what the heck? And we pretty much know nothing about this city other than the fact that everyone wants to go there. And you just can't buy into it. Like, so it really hooks you. Like, like Harrison said, I hadn't seen this movie before. Like, I heard 2 things. Actually, I'll save that for the next segment. But, yeah, this movie was awesome. The action was incredible. Really cool fight scenes. Like, I was getting hyped up, man. Like, that was so cool to watch. And, like, just, it really kept you, like, emotionally invested, too. As, like, you see Alita, like, begins to, like, fall in love with, like, Hugo and stuff like that. But also, like, her relationship with her father, Dr. Ito. And so you progressed along with her. And, like, you just loved her as a character, you know, because she even though she's like a cyborg, she does like everything human, and like it just really makes you like just cheer with her along the way of like battling up through the ranks to like become top dog and everything. Freak, dude,
time's
it's
up.
Too short.
All right, get me going, Cade. So I love adaptations. The more I watch movies, the more I'm discovering adaptations, good adaptations, are like my favorite genre, if that's a genre of movies. Kellen's over there loving on his origin story, so I guess he loved this movie too. But anything that's an adaptation, I just love. It's because films and like the format of film is the one that like speaks to me or I connect with the best. Like that's how I understand the messages and the stories. That's the one I enjoy the most compared to books or comics, manga, whatever it is. So it's always exciting to see a story that I love or a good story transition into a movie because that's what connects with me. Anyway, this movie is such a good adaptation. I'd never... I'll talk about that later. But yeah, such a good movie. Alita's amazing. She Rosa Salazar, who plays Alita, did amazing. There's great acting in it. The action is a ton of fun. I remember we were sitting there, and the first action scene came, and they were just kind of like slouching on the couch. And as soon as it started, both of them sat up and started like watching more intently. It was so great to see. Alita's unstoppable, but like so completely human, which is amazing and really fun to watch. It's so rewatchable because the world building and character development is amazing. Like they don't just spell it out like this is Motorball, this is Zalem, this is Iron City, this is Berserker, this is Panzerkunz, this is Alita. Like it's small details that you put together over the course of the movie and you figure it out. Like there's never a point where it's all spelled out. You figure it out as you watch and you put the pieces together, and it's so rewatchable for that reason. On top of that, the character development's great. Like the way it's done is really small. Like at one scene, Alita walks out and almost gets ran over, and then she goes outside a second time and she waits to cross the street. So like the way the story is told is so much fun to me. Also the CGI on Alita is amazing. No uncanny valley whatsoever. Like even with those huge eyes, it's just so good. So she's just completely unstoppable and a total boss. It's fun to watch like a female character be like really strong-willed while still having a lot of agency, but also being unstoppable and like fighting for what she believes in. It's just a positive movie all around. So many things to say about it.
All right. Okay. Well, that's my two cents. First thing I noticed about this movie was the cinematography, is that it sets you in the mood of like, this is an epic city that has so much going on and that you are in for a ride. And that I was really curious of like, I've seen pictures of Alita and how like her eyes are so big and people are like saying like, oh, it's too big. Oh, it's weird. It's all, it's like a magna, like a
anime
almost, manga. You know, manga. Well, my thought was like, well, that's like, I think this kind of, she's a machine. She's just like that. So I didn't feel like that was a big problem. One thing is just, is that when it comes to movies, I have this weird habit where I kind of raise my feet a little bit and like kind of tense up my legs a little bit when I'm watching a movie. My legs are a little sore at the end of this movie. I'll put it that way. I was kind of like on the edge of my seat a lot, and I was kind of just making this kind of dumb face because I was just trying to listen and focus on the movie so much because there was so much going on, and the story was just very interesting, and I wanted to know what was going to happen. And there was a lot of times where like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen at this point. I can't really predict or give a theory because I just, everything seems crazy, but it's not too crazy where it's confusing. It's just crazy to where I want to know what's going to happen. And the battle scenes were so epic. I'm excited for favorite scenes because I want to talk about that stuff. And I want to talk about Fallen. I want to talk about references. I want to talk about questions, and I want to talk about sequels and possible sequels and all possible sequels and everything like that. But it's just all around, this movie has, it's proven to me that like anime, live action anime, can actually become legitimate. Like there is hope for that stuff, and so I'm super excited for that. And I have 10 seconds, but other than that, I think Alita is a great movie. I really enjoyed this movie all around. I'm excited to talk about it.
Well, that leads us to our next section that I think we were all like preventing, like trying to stop ourselves from talking about in our two cents. So does it live up? So I'll share first. I was the one who put this movie on the schedule because, so the background for me, I consider myself like a movie buff, someone who really enjoys movies and is in like the news about movies. Like I always hear about a movie when it's coming out, and heard nothing, like absolutely nothing about this movie. Didn't even know it was a thing until one of my favorite YouTubers, Cinema Wins, did a review of it and talked about how amazing it was. And I was like, oh, I didn't know this was a movie. And his way talking about it, he talked about how good it was and how surprised he was by it. So then I rented it because I had a credit I could use on Vudu, and I was like, whatever, I don't have another movie to watch, I'll just watch it. And I was like, dang, this movie's good. And I was so sad that I didn't see it in theaters. Anyway, so fell in love with the movie. Since then, I've started to read the manga, even though I've never read a manga before in my life. It, like, actually one time I did before, but it got me into that again, and it's a ton of fun. And I just think it's an incredibly underrated movie. that just kind of like went unnoticed that more people should see. But I think that one of the reasons it's so great is, one, it's a, like a live action anime that's actually done well. And on top of that, so just a small history of this movie. So James Cameron, he's a really famous producer and director. Some films that he's known for is Avatar, Titanic, Terminator. I'm sure you recognize him after those movies. If you don't, IMDb it. He's really famous for well-crafted and kind of CGI revolutionary movies. And so he fell in love with both the manga and the anime. And because of that, he just wanted to make a movie. Like, it wasn't a cash grab. It was just like, he loves the Alita and he loves the story of Alita. So he wanted to make a movie about it. So he wrote a whole script. And then he got approved to make Avatar 2 when Disney bought Fox. So he just like dumped all his screenplay and like 30 years, I think, worth of notes onto Robert Rodriguez. Why is that so hard to say? He directed it. So it was like James Cameron, who's like, I want to make this, and then got approved to make Avatar 2. He's like, oh, Robert, here you go. Take all my 30 years worth of notes and make this great movie. And it is. So anyway, I just think it's underrated. I think it's a ton of fun. I think Alita is a great character. The world is something I want more of. So I wanted to share it with you guys and see what you thought about it, because, again, nobody knows about it. So, did it live up?
I say yes. I say it lived up to expectations because I wanted to see a good all-around movie. I wanted to see great action, and I wanted to see a story that didn't leave major plot holes in it.
So what was it, that was your only expectations, or what?
A little bit, just a gist of what my expectations were. I just wanted a good, solid movie with great action and great story. I wasn't expecting like a major, like, generational movie. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it went a little above my expectations because it's a different approach of how movies should be, because it's after an anime.
Like the way the story's told, it's different. Like, there's more anime.
Right. And I will say, this is my first two words that came out of my mouth. Well, the first phrase that came out of my mouth, I was like, really? That's it? Dang, this needs a sequel. Because, like, it just ends on just a note where it's like, I need the next movie now. Like, I need it now, you know? And I was impressed, because sometimes a movie trying to end on a big cliffhanger, or like you leave with questions, it seems like they could have made it better in like ending it. But this time, looking at this movie, it provided a solid story to where it almost came full circle, but to the point where when it ended, it didn't leave me unsatisfied, it leave me wanting more. And I think that's what they delivered it. I think this needs a sequel, because there's always so many questions that I have that are unanswered that I want to know about.
Yeah. All right. The expectations. So coming into this movie, like, I remember seeing like a trailer for it once, like a long time ago. And like, to me, I saw like the name was like Alita Battle Angel. And like I mentioned during the movie, like, for some reason, the name was just like a turnoff for me, because Battle Angel just sounds like, you know, oh, what's the word? It's like a contrast, like, a little big oxymoron. Man. Yeah, an oxymoron. I was like, what? Like a battle angel? Okay. So it seemed like too cheesy for me, but then also Alita in like Spanish means like chicken wing. So I was just like, what the heck? So anyways, like, I remember seeing the name, and then I saw like her giant eyes. I was like, okay, whatever. Like, and like I saw there were like actual actors in it too, like real humans. So I thought it was different, you know? And then the other thing I heard, I can't remember who told me, but someone said, like, the ending, it just felt like it just, like, they're going through the story, and then, bam, it just, like, stops. So that's what I knew, like, coming into this movie. And so, like, at the end part, I was like, okay, yeah, I think it's going to stop somewhere soon. So it definitely, like, changed my, like, perception of what was going to happen. But I would say, looking at the story as it is, I think they did a really good job of making this a great movie, but I think it had the potential to be so much better just in how they like set up the movie and how you perceive it. Because I think they generally, there's two main questions that come to mind when I saw this movie, and it's, one is, who the heck is Alita? And then two is like, why does everyone have beef with this city in the sky, you know? And I think they did a good job on setting those up, but they didn't answer them in a way to, like, I think hook you, like, 100%. With the Sky City, like, I still feel like we know nothing about.
Yeah.
Like, other than the fact that Dr. Ito was born there, and then he had to bounce because his daughter was sick. And then, like, you just can't go up there. Like, that's that. Although I did like that one line that Vector said, where he said, like, I'd rather rule over hell than be a servant in heaven.
Or than serve heaven or something
like that. Yeah. No, yeah, like, yeah, and serve in heaven or something like that. And that made me think, and I was like, whoa, like, it kind of, like, hinted at maybe how the city in the sky is. Like, maybe it's controlled. There's, like, a hierarchy of how people live and stuff like that. So that was pretty dang interesting. But I think it's really good that they set up those two questions, but I think they needed to answer one completely. It's great that they leave you like, what the heck? You know, I want to know. It leads you to the sequel, right? But when they answer one of those, it, like, I don't know. No, nothing that, like, would give away, like, what's going to happen in the future, but it gives you, like, a better solid foundation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But they did a really good job. Like, I'd say they almost nailed it. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, 10 being perfect, I'd say they did, like, an 8. I just think there's a couple things, like, if they would, I think if they were to tell us more, it would really just, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, dang.
Like, maybe a small explanation, or just, like, give them, like, 5 more minutes.
I just want it, like, they did a good job with explaining of who Alita is, like, the flashbacks to the past.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bridge the gap between, okay, she's, like, this super dope, like, space soldier, and then all of a sudden she's, like, in the scrap heap, like, just, like, her core, you know? Like, I'm sure they'll probably answer that later, and I don't know if, like, it's in the comics or the anime or anything, like, the answer to that. But I would have liked to know my hero more in, like, the first movie. And this is just me talking. Like, I love to get the hero, like, understand their whole story before we dive into the plot. So that's, like, the only, like, thing where I'm like, okay. But honestly, I would say this definitely, like, exceeded my expectations. Because they were pretty low, like, from what I've heard. Because I didn't hear anything about it. And, like, person told me, you know, it kind of just stops, like, right in the middle of the plot.
Yeah.
So this definitely exceeded my expectations.
That's good. So I'm glad you guys both liked it. I was honestly worried that, because I agree with what you said, Kellen, but I think in reading the manga now, I still haven't seen the anime and I don't know where to watch it. But anyway, I had the same thing. Like, what the heck? Like, who that? Why? Who's Alita? Like, why? And so I started reading the manga, wanting to find the answer, and same thing. Not answered. Zalem, what the heck is that? Just some powerful city that's not answered. So I think that I'm starting to understand that it's like, maybe, I don't know, I'm not that familiar with it. I think maybe that's the type of storytelling that manga and anime is like there's some big greater thing, but you focus on the smaller stories and how they slowly build to some bigger answer. I guess, I don't know, I'm very, very much a...
Maybe that's just like my preconceived notion of like how an...
A
story is told, you know. So I may not like it just because it's different, but you know, hopefully later on, if they make more movies, which I heard they're like planning on like 3 or 4.
Three or four?
Yeah, I just like looked it up, but hopefully they'll get answered because you know, there are parts of the story that you just want to know, right?
Yeah, right?
As a viewer and everything.
So I completely agree with you. I'm still bothered by it that I don't know the answer. But I think I'm starting to understand that, like, that's the reason why.
That would make sense.
And maybe it's not even, like, I'm not even through the first series. There's 3 series of the books. I'm not even through the first one. Maybe it's never answered. I don't know. This isn't about the books. This is about the movie. But I agree with you. I wonder what will happen further in the series.
But, hey, it did a good job of getting me hooked. Like, if there was a second one, I would, like, watch it, like, today. Like, right now. So...
Yeah,
it did a good job of hooking me. I want to know what's going to happen.
I agree. And I also think they did a good job of, like, giving you enough details about Alita that you, like, totally fall in love with her.
Oh, yes.
Like, yeah, she's amazing.
Boss.
So, yeah, okay. So I guess it lived up. That's good. Good job, Alita.
Thanks.
So should we move in to...
Yeah, pick your poison. So this segment, moving forward, this is where we give a rating either to buy this movie, where we would rent it, like if you want to watch it again, but wouldn't necessarily want to be fully committed and buying it, or to never watch it again. I'll jump in first. I think my first thought is like, how am I going to convince Sam that my wife that we'd buy this movie? Because I feel like I really want to know. I really want to buy it. It's just a great, solid movie all around. But, like, how can I get her interested? You know? Because it's, yeah. I don't know. It's just like, that's my mind still trying to figure it out. But I would want to buy it. I'd want to get it. Because it's just the potential of having, from what I heard from Kel and then from what his research says, 3 to 4 movies after this one. So I think I want to invest in this. That's what I got. That's my poison I want to pick.
All right. I would definitely buy this movie just to watch the action again.
Oh, it's so good.
Like, it's so cool. Like, just the way the different, like, cyborgs are built and the way they fight. Like, cool. Each cyborg she faces isn't just, like, some, okay, punch this guy and I, like, kick him. And none of that. It's, like, she, like, did different things to, like, beat each of the enemies. Like, and so... The action's so much fun to watch. Like, I wouldn't mind watching them again, like, right now. The story itself, this one is, I feel like, a kind of story, like, once you see it the first time, it doesn't have, like, the same grip the second time, just because it kind of does rely on, like, mystery and keeping you in the dark for, I feel like, a good part of the movie. So the story probably wouldn't be as good, I feel like, the second time, but it still would be enjoyable. There are some movies out there, after you watch it once, it's, like, incredibly boring. But I don't feel like this movie would do that. And just the action alone would always make it, like, be worth it to watch it again and again. So I would definitely rate this as a buy.
So, no surprise here. I already bought the movie.
This is, like, every single time. Yeah. I already have the movie, so.
Yeah. I agree with everything that you guys have said. Another thing that I just want to say for the whole... the Alita army, the community that loves Alita already knows this. But anybody else, if you're slightly interested in this movie, if you haven't seen it and you're like, I'll go rent it. No, just go buy it. And this is the reason why. One, you'll probably love it, like we all just said. But two, the sequel, like the movie kind of like didn't make that much money where it's like guaranteed a sequel. But it didn't make too little money where it just like tanked. Like, it was just kind of like middle of the road. So the deciding factor on whether we'll get a sequel or not is how profitable it is. Like in Blu-rays and purchasing it. So if you want a sequel, go buy the movie. Or if you want to support it all, just go. There's like a change.org petition that you can sign. It just got like 75,000 signatures on it.
Cool.
So they're trying to get like 150,000 now. So go buy that. That's off topic. Yeah, I would buy this movie as well. I agree with what you guys said. That there's nothing that can beat the first time you watch this movie because the story really does rely on your anticipation and your lack of understanding of it. But I also think it's a movie that I totally agree with Kelton. When I'm at work and I'm on my lunch break and I have no services at work, I downloaded this from Movies Anywhere just on my phone. And I'll just like scrub through and find an action scene and just watch the action scene because I don't have the time to watch the whole movie. So it's, but also like I've seen this movie 5 times now. And the story is more rewarding because the more and more you learn about the world and Alita, the more you pick up on things. You're like, oh, like, if that kind of makes sense, you get more details. So it's a fun movie to rewatch. And yeah, just go support the cause. So
sweet. Wow. All right. I think that brings us down to our bench points now. So bench points is basically any Easter eggs or cool things details that we really liked when we watched the movie and maybe questions we have or whatever it may be. So what do you guys got?
I got a ton. Okay, so I'll just kind of like ramble mine off. I kind of already mentioned this, like the love child of James Cameron, which I think is great that it was a movie made out of passion for. So just some other things. I think especially for people who love the manga and the anime, like from what I understand, and I could be wrong, this is like a world famous manga and anime. Like it's incredibly famous. It's already had 3 adaptations, a manga, an anime, and now a movie. And it's just incredibly famous from what I understand. So reading the story and knowing more of it, I can understand people who love this story, like the excitement they had while watching the movie, when something would be referenced for the first time, like when you see Hugo or when you see Zapan for the first time or whatever, you're like, oh, like that means this and this and this. And so like that was a ton of fun. I think Kelton mentioned how a lot of people complain about like the end story, how it ends kind of in the middle of a story. It's like my personal favorite credit roll of any movie. ever. One, because I love the end credit scene, which I'll talk about in a second, but I just think it's such a good credit roll, especially knowing the manga now and how, if you're reading the manga, I'm sorry, this might be a spoiler, but how the story changes so completely after the events of Hugo's death. Hugo dies, and the way I anticipated the story to go after I saw the movie is completely different from what happens in the manga. So I think it was a cool thing to say, like, yeah, Alita's story continues after this devastating, life-changing moment, and it continues, and it's pretty exciting. We'll give you this little snippet of it, and then we'll come back for the sequel and tell you the story. So I like it. I mentioned the credit roll and the song that plays. So the song is titled Swan Song by Dua Lipa, and she's singing how it's not a swan song. So a swan song is like this mythos type thing that a swan, the animal, the bird, sings a song only once and is right before it dies. So like your swan song is your last performance or your last song or whatever before you die. So maybe it's a hint that this isn't the last performance of Alita. She's going to go on and tell more. But there's tons of binge points where it's like the story of Zapan, knowing the manga is a ton of fun. So a lot of it has to go with knowing the books, but also just like Alita's berserker body, how she just like interacts with a thing and finds it and just like connected to it. The way she fights is a ton of fun. So I don't want to talk about the books. All of the binge points are connected to the books, but I don't want to talk about them because this is about the movie. But
one binge point I want to reference is the point where the little stray dog gets, you know,
Fang is his name in the,
what's his name?
It's in the manga. His name's Fang.
Oh, dang. Well, when Fang dies, that point when she takes the blood and kind of like goes like, you know, battle streaks on her eyes. I think knowing what happens at the end of the movie and how Hugo dies, spoiler, if you haven't known, all of our podcasts are spoilers. But that point, I think foreshadowed that she connects to people. And that if you take those things away from her, that is just crazy motivation. That is a inspiration that she holds that to her. Because there's a point where after Hugo dies and it fast forwards, like, was it 6 months later, 4 months later, something like that? Yeah. You know, where she cries, and as she's like, the tear falls, another cool moment, she cuts the tear in half with her sword.
It's
like,
straight up master control.
Like, you can see that how she's matured, but also like a reference that she has a unique gift of connecting to people and just holding that to her heart. Like that reference, I thought that was really cool. As a foreshadow that she becomes quick friends with this dog, and she loses the dog, and then it just turns into this boss. So that point right there was, I think that was a bit of foreshadowing in the movie.
Yeah.
I think one really cool moment that I really enjoyed was when I think it's Hugo's friends, they're talking about her, and oh, what's his name? The one who got cut in half.
Oh, Tanji?
Yeah, Tanji. Like, okay, like, moment of silence for that dude, because, like, holy freak! like, you know, you kind of, like, don't like him, and then you kind of do, and then you don't like him, and then you like him at the end, because he's like, oh, run, Hugo! Like, he's going to protect him. And then he, like, gets kicked, and then all of a sudden, I thought he, like, just got, like, cut.
Yeah.
And then, like, it shows his body, and he's, like, cut in half, and I'm like... What? Like, dude, he's gone. He is dead, dude.
Oh, shoot.
There's two pieces of him now. Like, what? So I was just like, oh, my gosh. Anyways, what else? Okay. So there's a part where the other, like, girlfriend of Hugo, she's talking to him, and he's like, oh, why don't you like her or something like that. They're talking about Alita.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he says, like, isn't she, like, part of, like, the URM or the ERM or whatever? Yeah. Like, isn't she, like, an enemy?
Yeah.
And the other girlfriend said, well, yeah, that was like 300 years ago. Just like get over it. So I thought that was actually kind of cool because I feel like that's how actually someone would actually react. Like, because I thought that too. Is like, oh, isn't she like bad,
she's a bad
though,
guy now,
you know? But then later on in the movie, you kind of like wonders like, okay, was she really like the enemy though? It makes it seem like the people in the sky, like,
are
really the enemy, and she was actually out doing something good. But I don't know enough about the ERM to be able to like make any conclusions about what they were doing, why, and what happened to them, and why all the other cities fell down, the sky cities fell down, but Zalem didn't, stuff like that. Zalem, right?
Zalem.
Zalem, sorry. So, I don't know, I just thought that was kind of cool. Like, it just, because it, I had the same question. Like, isn't she, like, bad, though? So, yeah, that was
because throughout the whole movie, you know who the protagonist is, and it's Alita. But you're not sure who the antagonist is. Like, is it Victor? Is it Vector? Is it Hugo? Because he's got this dark side about him. Is it the city in the sky? The Yuishka guy? Is it Nova? Is it actually Erm or the United Republic of
Dr.
Mars?
Dr. Ito. I thought Dr. Ito was bad at first, too. Like,
oh, at the beginning?
Yeah, when you see, like, blood on his arm, you're like, shoot, dude. Like, what is going down?
Yeah, so I... That's one thing is a reference to that is... They give you this big, you know, hand of cards of which enemy is it? Who is the enemy? And so I thought it was interesting that, you know, it shows of the progression that Alita just wants to, she's just willing to trust somebody. And there's just all this massive gray area, but Alita's like, it's all or nothing. It's like, it's black and white for me. And so you can just see her progress through the whole movie of, you know, wait, is he with a bad guy? No, wait, is, you know, what's his name? Is Zaban?
Zaban.
Is he the bad guy? Kind of, but he's kind of a rogue a little bit. Because she cuts his face off, and then that's the end of him. And, you know, my face.
That was gross to see, like, the two teeth and the tongue, like, still.
But then it's like, actually, it's Nova. So, like, I didn't, I think one thing they made one point very clear at the end of the movie is that Alita's the good guy and Nova's the bad guy.
Yeah.
That's what, like, that was like probably the biggest point they were able to hit pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. Super quick, other bench points I thought of that I love about this movie. First off, the CGI is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of people are going to, I was worried that some people were going to have a problem with Alita's eyes being huge because that's how they are in the manga and it's kind of an anime thing, but there's like no uncanny valley. Do you guys know what uncanny valley is?
No.
So it's this theory. Let me see if I can find a picture of it, but it's kind of like this idea that when you make a CGI character, there's kind of this valley that our minds understand. Oh, here it is. This is the chart I'm looking for. But our minds understand how things aren't human or how they are human. So you want to look at this, Kelton? So, like, there's a progression. This is a super complicated explanation, but, like, our understanding of a human likeness and how things aren't human and how our brains can understand that. Like, we clearly recognize that a stuffed animal or a statue is not human. But, like, as technology progresses and we go from, like, hand drawings to incredible CGI to deep fakes or whatever, we understand like a healthy person, there's this uncanny valley in between where like our brains easily recognize that that looks like a human, but I know it's not a human and it looks weird. Like two really good examples are Tarkin and Padme from Rogue One.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like you see those, you instantly like, yeah, it looks good, but like, I know that's not a person. So there's none of that with Alita. Like even with the big eyes, like it looks so real. It's so well done. Other one is I love how Ito is really scared to give Alita the berserker body because he thinks she's going to come some lethal weapon. And the first thing she does is wake up is like some super graceful move to like balance on one finger that shows her power, but also like her control over it. And then the next thing she does is she comes and lays on his shoulder. Like such a small but good moment where it's like, yeah, I'm in complete control of this absolutely powerful weapon, but I'm still in connection with my emotions and my feelings and what's right and wrong and love and family and all that. Another one is like when Alita goes to the Erm ship and she jumps in the water and they're like, how long can she hold her breath? And she like comes up from the water underneath the ship. She just lets out like a small breath, like just real small. Like when I come up from holding my breath for like 30 seconds, I'm like, she's been under there for who knows how long. And then she just comes up and like slightly breathes out. I think it's cool to like show how powerful her heart is that she could have held her breath forever.
Oh yeah. And now that made me think of another bitch point, like when she was like feeding the dog her burrito, which she like left in the street after. Dude, come on.
I'm hungry now.
I know. I want a burrito. No, but when like she's about to get run over by the sentinel thing, and like instead, like we don't know anything about Alita yet that she's like actually some like super like a bad A and like could kick anyone's butt. But she like right when she's about to get hit, she like goes into, like, this fighting stance. I was like, oh, shit, dude. Like, it's about to go down. And then, like, Hugo like tackles her out of the way and she like saves the dog in like a super cool way. But that's the first time we see that Alita actually has like a past that really like kind of shows who she is, and she's actually someone who is incredibly like talented at fighting and whatever. And so I thought that was really cool foreshadowing to how she really becomes just like totally super strong, like a super soldier. But like it just like a little like, I guess you could say like, what's the word, like a nonchalant moment, but she's like goes into like fighting mode. I thought that was pretty cool, so yeah. I enjoyed that.
One last bench point that I really like is what was I gonna say? Totally forgot it. You were talking about she goes into the fighting stance, and I remembered something, and I don't remember anymore. Dang it!
I hate that. Boy.
Okay, well, I guess we'll have to move on. Shoot, what was it? This is why I write things down. The one I did not write down, because you just made me think of it. 2 seconds. I will remember. I have to. Nope, I don't remember. Oh, there is one. This isn't what it was, but a different one. Okay. Is that when the first fight where Alita's chasing Ito and you think he's a bad guy still, and then he like is getting wrecked by Gruishka and that nice girl, I don't know her name, and he's like, Alita, run. And it like shows her running, and it like tricks you to think that she's running away, and then she starts fighting. Or the scene where like after she beats up that dude and the girl with the knife is going to fight her, and she just kind of like raises her fist like really innocently, like I love that scene
because the knife lady like pulls her out like sharp as like she like goes crazy, and she's just like fist up, like
it's not even like a stance, it's just like fist up, it's so like loose fists, it's so great. Yeah, but I still don't remember what that other one's. That's so disappointing.
Alright, well, if you remember, make sure to tell us.
I love the Mars scenes, the moon scenes. Oh, that was, I want
more. That looks so cool.
I want to know what happens. That's not in the book, as far as I know.
I want like a 15-minute minimum segment of where we're watching that battle in space, because that looks so cool.
Or the one, like, I just want to know, like, how did she get from the moon to, like, who's that? I forget her, like, the leader's name. I forget her name. It starts with a G. Yeah. And her flashbacks, like, what happens after she saves her? Greta or something like that. Like, what about the moon? What about like when she saves her from falling off the giant tube thing? Like, I just want to know. Anyway,
I would love a movie if they did like a prequel. That would be so
sick.
All right, if you're listening, director dude, please, we need a prequel to Alita.
Robert Rodriguez,
hook us up, please. Yes. We would even like if it's just us, we would love you forever, and like that movie would be the greatest ever. Oh, because
just a movie of like, okay, what was the war? Like, what was the fall? How did Zalem survive? What caused the war? And how was Alita on the moon?
And I guarantee you, if anyone who has watched Alita Battle Angel, they would definitely watch a prequel. Because that sounds so cool. Like, they were talking about, like, what happened. Oh, there was the war. Like, the United Republic of Mars. And, like, you know, they're fighting these sky cities and they all fall down. And it's just like, this. And they're fighting on the moon. That sounds so freaking cool. But we're only given just like a tiny drop of like what happened.
Yeah.
Just like the bare minimum. And it's like, we want to see it.
Sequel. Even if you give us a sequel, but give us more flashbacks, just give us more moon.
All right, come on.
More moon.
So I guess after our freaking out about the moon, we should move into our next segment, which is least favorite or dislikes and favorite scenes. I'll go first.
You go first, I'll second.
Oh, man, I have so many favorite scenes. I'm just going to, like, throw a blanket statement out there.
Wait, do we go dislikes or likes first?
I'm excited to talk about my favorites. Dislikes. I had one, actually, for this one, and I don't remember what it was.
If you want to, I can go what you think.
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe we'll remind you.
Okay, I got two. The heart scene, when Alita tried to give her heart away, like,
what was that?
Like, I thought, you know, they just, like, smooched, which... anyone saw that coming? Come on, they go up on the bridge, like right in the middle of the bridge, like please. Anyways, and like they're talking about how they got to raise money for Hugo to go up to the city, and all of a sudden she's like, "Oh, have my heart. It's just like, what? Why are you just gonna admit, like, we all know that her heart is like powered by like some super chip or something, so it's like worth millions and it could power Iron City for years. So it's just like, why are you doing that? And then he's just like, nope, like, put that away, like, stop. And even though they like called the attention to it, like, Alito's like, that was pretty intense, huh? Like, it was still too much for me. I was like, what is happening? Like, why is she doing this? Like, it just, maybe it was like hinting at how much she loved him and like truly had like fallen for him. She was willing, because she said like she was willing to do anything for him. So maybe it was hinting at that, but still, it was like way uncomfortable for me. That was just weird. And then the other scene is was her attempt to inspire everyone to go fight against, oh, like,
the Hunter Warriors.
Yeah, I, like, as soon as she started talking, I was like, oh my, this is way too cheesy. Like, stop talking, please. And then she goes to kick butt, which is awesome. But, like, that little speech part, I was just like, why? No one's going to join you. Because, like, this is just way too cheesy and, like, superhero-y and just, ugh. So those two scenes were like, ugh. But, like, what followed immediately after totally made up for it. So it was okay. Yeah, those two parts were like, why is this happening?
Yeah. I remember the first time I watched it, my least favorite scene was the heart scene. Like, the whole time I was like anxious, like, what the heck is she doing? Like, this is so weird. Stop it.
I felt like it was going to lead to the plot. Like, he's going to accept it and like give it to Vector or something. You're like, frick, no, don't do that, you know? But yeah.
So that I remember. But my least favorite scene this time, it's not that I like dislike it, it's just my least favorite scene, is the scene where Gruishka comes to, I forget her name, Sharin, and Vector, and asks him to get fixed, and Nova overtakes him. Like, I don't have a problem with it. It's just kind of like, I don't know, I just dislike it. I don't know why. It's just kind of like, eh, yeah, that could be done differently. I don't have a suggestion. Like, I understand, like, the character development and world building and like plot that provides is really important, and I think it's well done, but part of me is like, I don't like the, I just don't, I don't know, every time I watch, I'm like, eh. It's not that I dislike, it's just least favorite. So, okay, do you have a least favorite scene besides the heart one?
When Sharin, quote-unquote, died?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it didn't show anything whatsoever, like, what went down, but, like, they like, took all of her vital organs or something like that. The whole point was like, what? Well, that sucked. That was, like, a major character that just, like, bump, gone.
Yeah, it was sad. I mean, like, when, that made me think, when I watched her, like, she had a development, you know? Like, at the end, she chooses to save Hugo and help out Alita, but we don't, and like before she was kind of like a douche, like we don't really see like a lot of her and like what really drove her to change that. I guess they kind of did, but yeah, I was sad when she died, and like kind of in a gross way. We don't see how, but it's just like all of a sudden we're looking at her eyeballs, and it's just like, oh.
Yeah, they had to keep it PG-13, so we'll just show her eyeballs.
But that part I was like, dang, that, I'm disappointed. I feel like they really could have gone a better road of like seeing her actually progress and like show a sacrifice, but she like, and even like, it just showed that she like kind of like stepped out of her boundaries of her, you know, hardcore character and saved Alita's, you know, boyfriend Hugo, and then she's like, you are dead now. It's boom, just like that. Maybe that shows just like the cruelty of Nova and that whole, you know, how bad the bad guy is.
And maybe even like just show more of the relationship with her and Dr. Ito.
Cause yeah, I kind of wanted that, and that's what I felt like I was cut off from. My other least favorite scene was I'd say when that dude got cut in half. I was like, oh freak, dude! Like, I felt like there was some character, there were characters that I connected to that I wanted more of. They killed him off like really quick. I was like, dang it, I wanted more of him, you know, because Tanji was like, this guy was like being skeptical. I wanted him to like join sides with Alita, but he was cut in half by whatever, Zapan, because he's a pansy.
I remembered my bench point. Yeah. And also my least favorite scene. So the bench point is that when Alita plays the scrimmage for Motorball the very first time and she gets knocked over by Tanji, Hugo helps her up. The second time, she like rejects Hugo's hand. And then stands up with like this devious look on her face, like, I want to get you. It's great. Anyway, my least favorite scene is where Vector dies. For only the reason that I want more of Vector in like, maybe they'll bring him back to life. Who knows? Huger survives. But I appreciate, like, how much control and how powerful Alita was over Vector. And, like, I have no problem with Alita winning the way she did. They're, like, my only qualm with it is that Vector's dead. I like how he died. I liked that Alita was the one that did it. I like the story that it provided Alita. I'm just sad that Vector's dead. Because I want more Mahershala Ali, and I want more Vector. So, but favorite scenes, I have a few. A blanket statement, all the battle scenes are sweet.
Oh, yeah.
They're so good. Probably my favorite, the scene where she fights Grishka and gets cut into a million pieces is great.
I did not see that coming. I thought she was, like, going to punch him, and but then she just got cut in pieces, and I was like, oh, fat, she's, like, super dead.
So I'll mention three, and I'll talk about two right now and one in Fallen. So my three favorite, if I pick them, is that fight scene with Grishka where she gets chopped in pieces. The scene where she invades Vector. She invades the factory and kills all the Centurions, or Centuries, whatever they're called. And then the scene where Hugo dies. Those are my three favorites. The two I'll talk about is the fight with Grishka. First time, I had no idea that was coming. I was expecting her to win. And then she didn't. I was like, what? You can't have her lose? Like, do you know how movies work? They win, okay? You can't lose. And I think it was a great... Like, I feel like my interest in Alita would have been a lot less if she would have just won. Like, her losing made me connect and have more interest in her story.
Yeah.
And I also think that it was way victorious when she finally did win. And it's cool to see her go from, like, this fragile doll to, like, unstoppable berserker body. So I love that scene. I think it was a great, great, like, transition from the traditional storytelling where she just totally loses, like, completely. So, and then the other scene was when she invades the factory and kills all the Centuries. It's like you get another scene where she's just unstoppable and just a boss and wrecking everybody, and it's just like, all right, we'll move on. Like, it wasn't a super long fight scene. It wasn't like, oh, there's another century, got more people to kill. It was just like she just wrecked them and then she moved on, and it was well done. So those are my favorites.
All right, I'd say, because I could talk, you know, like Harrison said, all the action scenes are awesome. But I'd say my favorites, I have two just moments. I don't even want to say the whole scene. But two moments where I was like, oh my gosh. And it's, well, they both happen in like the span of like 20 seconds. It's when Alita's in that like bar for the Hunter Warriors. And she's talking to Zapan and like, She like roasts the crap out of him, right? Like make fun of his hair, his face, which is hilarious, by the way. But when he first like grabs her neck, the way she like twists, grabs his neck like underneath his arm and like slams his face into the table, I was just like, oh my gosh, dude! Like, I got so hyped up in like the span of half a second, because it was just like grab, smash, like so quick. I was like, that was so cool. And just like the way she did it was awesome. And so that was incredible. And then like when she like wrecks him again and like kicks him to the wall and like he like dropped his sword, she like picks it up, kicks it, and it like sends it like 2 feet into the concrete wall right above his head. I was just like, oh dang, dude, you like, she is serious, dude. You better wreck some days. So like that was so cool to me. I just got like super hyped watching that, so I'd say those are my favorite moments of that scene.
Yeah. I have to jump on that train too. The moment where he, like, gets Zapansy, I'm going to call him Zapansy from now on, gets kicked back to the wall, and she just kicks the freaking sword straight into the wall as it's nonchalant, just like, that's a warning. Like, just back off. But then my favorite part is, like, he was like goes up to him, like, hey, like, as if, I think, I can't remember what he said to her. Like, what are you doing? He's like, and then Alita's like, I need you to stand way back.
Yeah, I got this. I don't need your help.
And then that like part when she throws up the two beers and like kicks him at their faces.
That was sweet.
That was like straight just for cool stuff. Because I'm pretty sure it didn't even hurt the guys, you know, bottle the face or whatever. But like that was just like she throws up, spins, it's like, and then like kicks it to their face, like. Yeah, that was way cool.
But that was one favorite scene. The other favorite scene was when she is in Motorball and she goes to, like, I can't remember, but so much was happening. She goes to, she, two guys come after her, and she ripped off one arm, takes him out, and then jumps and takes out the other guy with the other guy's arm. Yeah. That was epic.
That was awesome. Dude, the whole motorball scene, I can't take my eyes off the screen. And I've seen it so many times. It's just like, this is epic. It's so sweet.
Not gonna lie, though, I do have to say, I was surprised by how much this movie had. Like, it almost seemed like super gory. Like, almost. Not gory, like, in terms of, like, blood and guts and everything, but just, like, the way people were killed, or, like...
It's very, very anime.
Yeah, it is, for sure, because I was like, whoa, wait, did that really just happen? Like, so there are a couple months I was like, wow, like, that is pretty intense, you know? So, that was surprising by this movie. Yeah.
Fun movie to watch. Alrighty, so on to our last segment. Fall in.
All right, boys, this is the big one. This is the meat of the podcast. Fall in. This is where we really just dive into the, not only just, it's bigger than references. It's about conversations between three of us to where things that we've caught in the movie that mean something to us more than just entertainment, and more of like messages that they wanted to get across, like the actor themselves and the director, but also what we've caught from it. And we just have this conversation between the three of us, us three friends, and really just dive in and just let our creativity grow in this conversation. So let's get into it. Let's fall in. What do you got for us, Harrison?
Oh, I got a lot of things to say about this movie. One of the reasons I love it a lot is because I, especially the first time I watched it, I cried when Hugo died. And not because I was sad he was dead, but because I connected to what I personally believe the message was being portrayed at that time. That's what I'll talk about first. That's why it's one of my favorite scenes. And it's something that I still continue to struggle with, is that when someone is so obsessed with something, you miss out on a lot of opportunities. And I think each one of us in our own way, we're trying to reach some better form of life, you know, if you want to relate that to Zalem for the purpose of the movie. Like, each one of us is trying to reach something better. We're all striving for something. That's why we get up in the morning and do stuff, is we're searching for something, whatever it is. And a lot of it can be good, a lot of it can be bad. But either way, if you get too obsessed with it, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities. You're going to miss a lot of relationships, you're going to miss a lot of love. And that's exactly what happened to Hugo. Like, he was so obsessed with Zalem that he died. Like, he died because he just would not give up on Zalem. And he was never going to make it there. But he was so obsessed that he was just clueless to it. And I love the part where, I love it for two reasons. But when Hugo, right before he falls, and he's like, thank you for saving me. I think he realized in that moment that he needed to give up on his obsession of Zalem because he was missing out on so much better in life. The other part about it that I love is that Alita has to realize that even with all this power, like unlimited power, this Panzer Kunz and her berserker body and this incredible sword, like she still can't save everybody. And she can't save everybody from their own imperfections, their own obsessions or weaknesses. I just think it's a powerful scene for both of them. And I relate to that because a lot of time I get obsessed. Like, for example, a personal one relating to this. Like, sometimes I started the podcast because I love talking about movies and I think they're amazing and I love having conversations about them. But my desire to succeed at it and make money, even though that's not the reason I started it and that's not the reason I continue to do it, sometimes that obsession, although a worthy cause, like, causes me to miss out on a lot of enjoyment that comes from it because I'm so obsessed with this one goal that I miss out on a lot of enjoyment that I could be just by enjoying it. So,
yeah. Going off of that, I've had a relation that they live in this city, and there's a place above them that it's claimed to be better. It's claimed to be how, like Vector was saying, that I'd rather be the ruler of hell than give service in heaven. To where he knows he has his power, but up in heaven, it's uncertainty. But just a point where the only thing you really know about Zalem is that it's better. And that it's better than this, you know, quote-unquote dump. And Hugo is so big about that he missed out on those things. And one thing I want to point out that I've learned within the past few months is that happiness is not determined upon where you're at or a place or a location. Happiness is determined on you choosing happiness, whether your life is bad or good. And that's all based upon your opinion. Because you can be as happy as you want it all depends on you. You can involve happiness into your life as much as you want. You can have it be every day, every moment of every day, or it can be, you know, once a week where you go hang out with your friends or go to church or go, you know, have some free time to yourself, or not, almost not at all. Like, there's people that I've met who they accepted the fact that their lives are just, it's just always going to be bad, and like something bad is always going to happen to them. But once they run into a point where they find a little bit of happiness, they get a little nervous. They get a little scared to where, okay, this is too good to be true. This is, seems a little too good. Like they back out of it, back out of this potential point of where this can get them out of this rut and make them happy. And I really think that Alita Battle Angel, this movie, really portrays that in a really good way. That Alita, she wants to go back to, you know, the quote unquote dump. She wants to go back there.
Even like Hugo, he gets so focused on the grass being greener on the other side, so to speak, that Zalem's better, and he misses out on all the happiness and good things that can happen in Iron City, whether that's with Alita or eating oranges or chocolate. You know, like, there's things that can be enjoyed that grass isn't always greener. So
yeah,
and I think that's what everybody needs to come to learn, that in their own way. They can't learn it the same way as I did, the same way as Kellen or Harrison did. Like, they have to learn it in their own way, that the happiness that they want is always in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, happiness cannot ever be earned. It's not a tangible thing. It's very much an intangible thing that you choose within your own mind to have.
Yeah.
Like, it's always, happiness is always, you look at a kid, look at 3-year-olds, look at 4-year-olds. So you look at those kids who are just running around having fun. Like, they have, you look at them, they don't really have a lot going for them. They're just going out and playing in the dirt, or they're going out and playing in, or wherever it is, or they're just going to hang out with friends or anything like that, or they're just, they don't understand. No matter what situation they're in, whether their family is very well off or they're not, they always find some sort of happiness, because happiness is always in front of you. That's why I've come to really feel that for me, that happiness is always in front of you. You can choose to have it every day, or you can choose to leave it behind you, you know, back at home, or back where it is behind you.
Yeah.
And that's what I think this movie is really portrayed.
Yeah,
in my eyes.
The other thing I think that scene portrays, particularly with Hugo, and like the idea of obsession, is like each one of us are truly striving for success. So to relate it to the movie, like Zalem can be that thing that we're trying to reach success at. And a lot of it's good, a lot of it's important, it's worthwhile. But in each thing we strive to do, there's going to be risks, there's going to be sacrifices, there's going to be consequences, good and bad, that you're going to have to take to get there. And some of them may be worth it, but I think that there's not a cookie cutter answer for everybody. Like, this is worth it, this is not. Each person is going to answer that question with given situations differently, that, you know, this reward, is it worth this sacrifice and these things? I think it's just important to ask the question. You know, sometimes you may not know the answer, and I don't have the answer. You have to answer that, like Cade said, but I think it's important to ask the question, and this movie made me ask that question for myself, so I love it for that reason.
Yeah, thinking when you guys were talking, it made me think about kind of how, think about happiness and love, especially how when Alita, once she kind of establishes her relationship with, once she establishes her relationship with Hugo, and they're kind of like dating, is that like she loves him, and now what's important to her is making Hugo happy. Like, she is willing to sell her freaking heart just so Hugo could reach his dreams. And like, and how it really pushed her, like almost everything she did after that was like in memory of or for Hugo. And how, and like her happiness, like that made her happy. And I feel like that's what love really is. When you truly love someone, what you desire is for them to be happy. You know, this comes from a guy, like, you know, I'm not married at all or anything, but like, you know, I've seen that, like, when, like, relationships I've seen is that when people really truly care about each other, they put them in front of themselves, like priorities and stuff like that. But also, Harrison, talking about obsession, just made me think, like, made me question, like, do I have any, like, obsessions in my life? Because when we hear obsession, we think of, like, oh, addiction or anything. We only think, like, we can only be addicted to, like, super bad things, like drugs or, like, stealing or, you know, stuff like that. But I think kind of each and every one of us has like a mini obsession about certain things that we probably put too much time into, or we care about them too much when really it doesn't, whether we care about them or not, it's not going to change us at all or do us any good at all. You know, we just, it's like the amount of enjoyment we get from it. So yeah, I think it's good sometimes just to step back and ask ourselves, like, are there any things that I am obsessed with to the point where it's unhealthy? And being able to learn just to, like, moderation, you know? Being able to control that and have, like, complete control, kind of like Alita, like, yeah, in her life. So it's kind of a cool role model to think, yeah, of.
I think she is. The other theme I love about this movie, and it's not any in particular scene, but just kind of the whole movie, I think Alita truly is, like, the most human person in Iron City. Like, even though she's totally alien and made of, and she's a cyborg, like, I feel like her mind and her heart is the most human out of anybody. Particularly in that world, I would imagine that a lot of people have lost themselves in a dog-eat-dog world. Like, you just kind of have to fend for yourself. Even Hugo's willing to, you know, jack parts from cyborgs while they're still alive to make his way to Zom. Like, that's horrible. Yeah. But Alita is so uniquely herself without being afraid. Like, she has no insecurity. She's just herself, and she's so in touch with her emotions, but in a controlled way. Like, she understands her love for Hugo, and she connects with it and accepts it to the point where she's like, here, have my heart, but then understands, like, what that means and says, like, oh, that was a little intense. Like, she's able to be like totally commit to something, but then also to take a step back and be controlling over and be like, okay, what's right and wrong, like, what's the balance here. Just the ability to connect and feel your emotions while being truly yourself and having control over that, and all good stuff. So really fun movie to enjoy and talk about. Any other themes or messages you guys want to point out?
I think that's it for me.
Okay. Well, thanks for watching this with me, guys. But also a huge thanks to, like, everybody in the fandom of Alita. You guys, like,
fan base of this movie is,
I find it like hilariously charming. Like, they have a Reddit and a, like, an actual Twitter account for the Alita army. And when anybody in, like, film Twitter, whether they're like, what movie are you watching this weekend, or what movie should I watch, or anything like that, you just go look at one of them, and every single comment, well, not every single one, but like 90% of them is Alita. Just because, like, one of the members of that fandom is like, there's a question about a movie, everybody go comment. And so they all do. And it's just like, it can be kind of annoying, but I find it charming that, like, these people are so passionate about this movie that they just want to share it with everybody. And I think, and they're, but they don't do it in a negative way. They're never like, oh, this movie's better than that, and this one's horrible. It's just like, Alita's great, go watch it, which I think is, it's fun. So, so I'm new to this fandom. Cade was new to it, and both on Reddit and Twitter, you guys were so welcoming and fun to be around. So, thank you for that.
Yes.
And hopefully you enjoyed our podcast and what we had to say about it. If you did, please consider subscribing, especially for these next few weeks, some of my favorite movies that we're about to watch. And then we'll be back out of the MCU. So, see you guys next week. Ciao, ciao.
Peace out, home dog.
What do, baby?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.